Father God, thank you for your holy presence. Thank you, Lord, for this appointment you have with us now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will just make all the voices of the world quiet now, Lord. We will forget about what's lying behind us and that what is waiting for us on the diary for the week to come. Father, I pray that we will open ourselves up, our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes, and just to meet with you now, Lord, and to leave this building tonight with a new revelation of how awesome you are. In Jesus' name. I would like us to read together from the book of Ephesians, where Paul spoke to the church of Ephesians in many years ago. And I believe that that same message he gave to that church is still applicable to all of us today. Ephesians 5 verse 8 to 10. The heading of that scripture in the New King James is, "You were once darkness, but are now light." Verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world, in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." What caught my attention within that small piece of scripture is that revelation that you were once darkness. It's not something that surrounds us in the world. It's not something external, this darkness Paul wrote about. The darkness he is explaining here is the darkness inside all of us. We were once darkness. And with that revelation, you know, of we were darkness, comes the good news that we are no longer that darkness. You have a choice to walk away from that darkness. You don't need to continue a life with darkness. And you have absolutely the opportunity to replace that darkness with light. Because Christ in me. When you were still darkness, that was our former lives, our former way of conduct, our former way of thinking, of reasoning. Now we are people of faith. And being a person of faith, that means you now have that light. When we were darkness, you were heading towards death. But we are heading into eternal life because of the light. The darkness is associated with a life of sin. It's associated with slavery to sin and to Satan. But after the life of darkness, our lives are now characterized by good works. We are no longer the same. And now comes the biggest blessing of all. We are now all sons of the living God. That is the difference from a life of darkness to a life of light. I realized also what Paul was explaining here is that salvation is not a trivial matter. It's not just something that happens. You know, you had a great meal at a restaurant and now you move on. You didn't watch a movie and spoke a half an hour about it and then you move on. No. Salvation is really that place in our lives where we all are radically transformed. You cannot be the same afterwards. So from this place of darkness into the light, we also realize that darkness can never dispel light. It's only light that can dispel darkness. and we know how we feel in the flesh, you know, when Eskom is having trouble and we don't have this kind of light. But I try to imagine how it would feel if we live in eternal darkness, no light at all. My brain can't fathom that. So there's a good news in this whole situation, because from darkness we go into light. We leave behind the evil and we go towards the good. We don't longer live in danger but in security. We don't live in a world of chaos any longer but in a world of order, because God is a God of order. He brings that to us. We can replace sorrow with joy. Joy. Wow, what a blessing, people, not to live in darkness any longer. We can replace untruth with truth. And then we leave behind condemnation and we live in salvation. God gave it all. He gave His Son to us. The Greek translation from the word, the original word that was used those years in the scripture, is peripateo. And the first part of that word, peri, P-E-R-I, comes from the word like parameter. So it's your area. God entrusts a specific area where you need to operate. And then the rest of the word means to walk around. Hence, the word says, walk as children of light. Not lie on your couch. Not be passive. Not be ignorant. There's a command in this. We need to walk. It's an action we need to take. And what I also realized, Paul's word to this church was not new. This whole idea is right through the Bible. Not only the reference to light, but to walk with God. In Genesis 5 and in Genesis 24, we read that Enoch and Noah walked with God. God challenged Abraham, or Abraham before he became Abraham. God challenged him to say, walk with me, walk before me, and be blameless. So we can't just walk in the world and expect God to work inside us. We have to be blameless. The psalmist said in Psalm 1 and 119, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners. Ezekiel referred to God who executed judgments on the Israelite for failing to walk in his statutes, for failing to keep up with his laws. So, what does this tell us if you take it together to summarize it? We, me and you, as children of God, need to think of how we walk, how we live, how you operate. And the commandment that Paul said in the scripture is to walk as children of light. And that brings me to the core of our message tonight. And you're welcome to read with me from Matthew 5. From verse 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I'm going to repeat those three verses. It's very powerful. You, that means me and you, you are the light of the world. A city, and the city referred to here, is not a town like George. The city is the church of God. This is us. that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I would like to ask a question. You don't need to answer. Are you sometimes hiding your lamp under a basket? I came to the realization that I have been doing it because we have choices in life. So what do we do if you hide your lamp under that basket and people can't see the light? That is when you keep quiet, when you should speak up. Just take every one of these points and just ponder about it and think, is this where you were? Or maybe sometimes still operate. When you hide your lamp from the people around you, it's when you go along with the crowd. Just go with the flow. Don't cause any conflict. Don't upset the people around you. Just go with the crowd. Does that sound familiar? Another thing is when you deny the light. When you deny the light, not the light, but God, Christ in us, that light. When you allow sin to dim your light. It's so easy. Your light is hidden from people when you are not explaining to other people the light we have received. And that is a commandment from God. Your light is hidden from people when you are ignoring the needs of people around you. You're not acting on it. We don't want to get our hands messy, dirty. People, but God doesn't want to take us to a place of guilt. I just believe this part of Scripture is there tonight speaking to each and every one of us to consider what we are doing with our lights. And that you, as I said, it's you and me, but it's also meant by Matthew in the plural sense of the word. It's not me and you individually. It is us. Us as the church together, in unity, in one accord. Our lives, if you are here in the church, in this safe building, or on the campus, or in your office, driving in the car, your life should always be characterized by light. And that refers back to moral purity. It refers to patience. It refers to peacefulness in this world around us that is often so dark and deprived of light. The definition for shine means to give off or to reflect light. So Matthew says, shine before the people. So we need to give off. There need to be impartation from where you are to people around you. And then for me, it's all in those last few words. And glorify your Father in heaven. Nothing we do, we can take honor and credit for. Nothing. Everything we do when we reflect the light of God should refer back to God and glorify His name. James just put it all together in such a nice way when he said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And then he goes on and he explains about the man who looks in the mirror and turn around and forget what you saw. This month of October we are entering into now, our theme at the church for this month is about word and worship. And even before I looked to the theme of the month, when Omo asked me to preach today, God already gave me this message. And I'm just standing amazed how faithful God is and how his planning is working. So for you, for each and every one of us, I believe, people, it's a time for us to wake up and to become doers and to walk in the way we should walk. We cannot stay the same. I read a part written by Reinhard Bonnke. And I'm sure you know who he is. He's this amazing guy from Germany who did all these amazing evangelistic crusades through Africa. And he once explained to an audience that when we walk in light, when we take the word that God has given to us, we become like a little fuse or some part of electricity. I'm not an engineer, so bear with me if my terminology is not spot on. But he explained that he says that fuse is made up of a part of metal. So the lower the resistance in this metal is, the higher the transformation is. You know, the higher it can flow through that. But if that piece of metal becomes a little bit rusty and dirty, there's a lot of resistance. So, if God gave us the word, and we need to become doers of the word, we need to be open to the word, so that power of God can flow through us. Before I end off with a few practical points, God took me on an amazing journey 2 years ago in my life. He allowed me, at my very youthful age, to study for a master's degree. And part of that journey was that God asked me to go to Turkey for 3 months all by myself. Turkey is a very much a Muslim country. 99% of the residents are Muslims. Those Turkish men do not show a lot of respect towards women, especially not to a Western woman. God took me there, and I was so out of my depth. I liked to plan. I liked to control. I had my own business at that stage, having a staff of 50 to take care of, etc. God did not allow me to make any plans for accommodation, only for the first week of that three-month period, and then for 3 days afterwards, and that was that. I had to trust God. And I'm telling you, people, we are all facing a lot of challenges in life. But for me, that was really like being a fish out of water. And some nights, like in 11 o'clock, I got really frantic and I would jump onto my laptop and try to find accommodation. Where am I going to stay? I didn't know to which towns in that big country I would be going. And God would like supernaturally remove my hands from the laptop and remind me why he is sending me there. And his commandment, the studies was part of it, to do the research, but he told me to go and to observe, not to be part of a church there, not to go and do works for him, but I had to be obedient. I could keep you here for at least 3 hours if I should summarize what God really did in my life in those 3 months. But to give you an example, that last day of the organized accommodation, I was desperate just to have interaction with a Christian, because it was close to the end of Ramadan, or Ramazan as they call it, and there were spirits in the air, and it was not a good place for any child of God to be. And I remember there's a lady in Stellenbosch from Shofar who just left Turkey with her team, and she made contact with a Christian family. So I emailed that guy and said, when is church in your village? I need to attend the church. The guy immediately emailed me back and said, come tomorrow, have lunch with my family and join our church for the day. It took me 2 hours to get there. Train, onto another train, onto a bus, and I got to that village. 10 minutes after I entered their house, they don't know me from anywhere. They said to me, you know, Krista, we are going on leave now for about 6 weeks. 6 weeks. Don't you want to come and stay in our house? What's the chance? That is God. I had to trust God. 2 days before that time was up, someone I got to know now in this village who could speak a little bit of English said to me, you know what, people down in that road are going back to Sweden to their family. Don't you want to stay in their house for the next 2 weeks and just house at their house? That is God. And then the last few weeks of the 3 months, God opened up more accommodation. That is our God. But what I really want to share with you is not only to walk in the light and walk in obedience. What really got to me during that period was every word of God's word is true. God did not only give us his son, he did not only give us light, he gave you authority. Remember now in the beginning of my testimony, I told you it's a country of 99% Muslims. Me, an older woman, without the Muslim way, wearing scarves and stuff, I would get onto a train or a bus that is loaded with Turkish people. And one of the older Turkish men, Muslim men, and I'm not thinking it, you can see it, they would get up from their seats and offer me their seats. It nearly drove me crazy. I couldn't understand it. And at that stage, I spoke to one of my children here back in South Africa, and I said, I don't understand what's going on. It's crazy. It freaks me out. And my son rebuked me, and he said, Mom, one of the scriptures you received before you went there was, you are the royalty of God. You have the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. So I can tell you, from my own experience, God's word is true. And you can take heart on that. Not because I'm saying it, it's true. So, thank you for allowing me to share my journey with you. But to get back to the light and the way we are supposed to walk, I have 4 pointers for you. And it's possible we can walk in light. But we need to think. And the first thing I believe is we need to be careful what we say. Words are powerful. We know there is power in the tongue. So, tame your tongue. Think before you open your mouth. Because walking in the light, our mouths are part of that walk. The second thing, And maybe I'm now specifically talking to the younger generation. But still, I can associate with that because that is life. Consider your entertainment. Where do you go? Where do you hang out? What kind of shows do you see? Movies do you watch? What kind of music do you listen to? That's what's going on around us, people. But think twice. Because that guy on your campus who doesn't want to be associated with Christians will see you when you go into that weird movie. The third thing is, pay attention to how you are using social media. Watch what you post. You know what? It doesn't mean it's pornography. It doesn't mean that it's weird stuff. But watch what you are posting. Does it reflect pride? Does it reflect you being self-centered or rude? Are you making nasty comments? I saw this week a lady in a church, I know her. She posted this video and she made a lot of positive comments about it. And that whole video depicted the parent as the bad in this disciplinary situation. That's not walking in the light. The fourth thing we need to consider when we walk in light is to think of others. See people around you for who they are. Consider other people's needs and help meet them. Encourage people instead of criticizing people. Be patient with people. And please distance yourself from gossip, because gossip is not life speaking. So, I can honestly stand here before you today, and I know God, quite frankly, my whole life. But for me, it's an exciting journey, getting up every morning out of my bed, discovering every day something new about God. And I can say to you today, and you can hold me accountable for that, it is the absolute desire of my heart to reflect as most as possible light for the rest of my life here on earth. For so many people as possible, be it the Muslim crowd in Turkey, or the George people around me, or people in Cape Town or in Joburg, wherever I go for work, that they can see the light shining through my life. So, for as long as I can, and to as many people as I can. And I would like to ask you to be honest with yourself and discover what God is asking from you tonight, what you need to change in your life in order to reflect that light. And whatever you choose, whatever you take away from the scripture tonight, because it's not about me, it's all about God. Whatever you are taking away from scripture is to be obedient to that. Because if God calls you to do something, He will enable you. He will equip you. He will give you what you need to walk in it. And whatever you decide, the generations even after you will benefit from that decision you're going to make. What I also realized, and I just want to close with that, is if we get saved, if you accept Christ into your life, Christ is not something we hold on to. It's not something we just bring into our lives. Being a Christian is about abandoning our old lives. It's about leaving that behind us to find true life in Christ. That is a guarantee. We can't just decide when. It's Christ in me, and he's going nowhere. But you have a choice what you're going to do with that. And just one last thing. In this whole journey of discovering really what it means to walk in light, I realize still in South Africa, and I'm a very proud South African, is that sometimes God stretches us even to let our lights shine over cultural differences. I'm going to repeat, cultural differences, not racial differences. But I'm a Christian. How do I reflect the light towards a Jew or the Catholic person? We have to see where God's light can go. And we can't limit it. But we have to consider being more sensitive towards cross cultures. So, dear friends, I would like to invite you, if you're not sure if you have that light inside you, please come and join me here and on my right side. I would like to pray with you tonight. If you are not sure that you are able and you have that power, or if that little fuse that's supposed to transfer the power of God has become a little bit rusty, please come stand here at my left side. I would love to pray with you. This might just be the day in your life where the decision you will make will change a lot of people's lives. Dear God, we just want to give you every word that was sang out to you tonight, Lord, to glorify your name. Father, I just want to give every word we read from Scripture tonight back to you. And Lord, we just want to acknowledge that we cannot do life as Christians without you. Lord, I just want to declare that we are all surrendering whatever we are holding on to. It's not about the lives that is behind us, but the true life of Christian that's waiting in front of us. Father, may your word change people's lives and hearts. And Father, we are anxious, we are excited, we are super excited, Lord, about the light that is going to be reflected on campuses, in offices, in businesses, in this town of George, in every corner of South Africa, flowing out to the rest of the world, Lord, because of your presence. You are an amazing God, and we just so love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.